shepherding in that sense the flock of God. I remember years ago, I attended a conference in a particular place of which I won't mention, with a particular person of whom I also won't mention, and it's been long enough ago that most of you probably wouldn't remember it if you had been there anyway, and most of you weren't, I don't think. But it was one of these conferences that there was ministry given, and then there was time for questions afterwards. And so, there was a particular brother who got up and asked a question, and as he did, on the panel sat three men, all of whom were recognized as elders in their each respective local assemblies. As the question was asked, simple question, direct, pointed, not a hard question, each man on the panel gave his evasive answer. At which point I elbowed the fellow next to me, who apparently was not that brilliant because he listened to what I had to say. I said, "Get up and clarify what that man asked." And as he did, he got up to clarify what the man had asked, and boy, he got shot down big time. To which I said, "I don't think they heard you right. Get up and clarify again." To which he did. And you could tell that he'd struck a nerve. Now, the basic question was simply this: what do we do about men who have positions of responsibility but don't function in the responsibility of that position? That was the question. You could tell it hit a nerve. One of the elders said, "Well, you know, before I was an elder, I used to ask questions like that." One of the elders said, "I think if I asked a question like that, I'd go home and examine my own heart." And it just got worse after that. When the brother got up the second time to clarify, he said, "Listen, I'm not saying it's my problem. I'm not saying I'm the one who has the problem. As I travel around, this is a real issue that the Lord's people ask me about." But you could tell that it struck a nerve. You see, sometimes assemblies can, I don't know how best to describe it, sort of be set on cruise. And the local church can function because there is a form that, if that biblical pattern is followed, it sort of lends itself to a certain way of functioning. And sometimes the job, if we can call it the job, the task of elders is reduced to glorified booking agents. As long as they can keep the calendar filled, as long as they can keep certain men coming in, well, they feel they have fulfilled their role of feeding the flock of God. I ask you, is that all that is entailed in this verse? Now, I want to be careful to say, I have often pondered this verse and the other verses that we have when it comes to feeding the flock. And I'm the first, well, I'm not the first, but I certainly do understand that when the Scripture says apt to teach, it doesn't mean necessarily what we think, generally speaking, apt to teach means. It doesn't mean that a man has to have a conference ministry, whatever that is. It doesn't mean that a man has to be a qualified or a capable, exciting pulpit speaker, if I can use that terminology. There are many ways to teach the Word of God. Some of the most effective methods that we personally have seen in teaching the Word of God have never been done behind the pulpit, although that certainly is important and I believe in it. Been done around the dinner table. Been done at the restaurant at 5 o'clock in the morning, over breakfast or coffee. Been done in all sorts of settings and context. A person can be apt and able to teach. And I understand that in providing the right diet for the sheep, we certainly want to have good ministry, wholesome ministry, things that will build up, things that will help, things that will teach. But I lean a little bit more towards that more expansive use of that word, intending the flock of God. whether we call it laziness, I don't want to always attribute it to that, whether it's slothfulness, whether it's some other thing, sometimes, listen, not always, but sometimes, assemblies sort of get locked into the cruise control mode. And as long as things are sort of functioning, the meetings are going on, and ministry's involved, but is that really tending, feeding, caring for the flock of God? Is it the real work of the shepherd, the real work of the under-shepherd and the elder? Money. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And I'm glad Randy said what he did earlier among the other good things he said. You know, there are men who get salaries who are not hirelings. I tell you, it's easy to sit back sometimes and listen, those many of you who know me here, and most of you who do know me, know what I feel and believe about how the Lord's work and workers ought to be supported. By God's grace, over 26 years ago, when my wife and I first decided to trust the Lord, quit our jobs, well, I quit mine, told her to quit hers, we determined before the Lord, and this is by God's grace, that we would never ask man for anything, that we'd look to the Lord and Him alone to meet our needs. And that way we'd know whether it was of God or not. Not our persuasiveness, not our publicity, or any of that. And we've lived by that, by God's grace. He has been faithful. Not because we've been anything. He's been faithful. But I want to tell you, it's easy to sit and take pot shots sometimes at men because they get a salary. And those men may be true shepherds who care for the flock. And they're not doing it for the money. They're doing it of a willing heart and of a concern to see the Lord's people going. They may be in systems that are wrong. They may do certain things that we don't agree with, but let's not, and I'm not saying again, Randy didn't do this, which I'm grateful for. We can't brand them all as hirelings. The hireling has a different motivation altogether. There are men in many areas of the world who are who lay down their lives, give up their lives for the Lord's people. I would equate that money too also with being a wrong motivation. It is not for filthy lucre. It is of a ready mind. And it's not as being lords over God's heritage. Now I know that Brother Burnett will be taking up that passage in Ezekiel 34. I just want to read there one verse out of that if I can, or two, and not dwell on them, because he'll be in that passage in Ezekiel chapter 34, where the Lord says to the shepherds there, verse 4, "The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them." With force and with cruelty have you ruled them. The absence of shepherd care and the abuse of shepherd authority. Not lords over God's heritage. The exhortation to feed and care for the flock of God. I want us to think back on that passage in John chapter 21 again. I know it's a passage that's familiar to most of us, and we've probably all been over the words there. The words that are used for love, the words that are used for sheep and lambs, the words that are used for feed, and all that the Lord has to say. There is a thing that I hope we don't miss in the rest of it. I'm sure we haven't. But you know, Peter denied the Lord three times. And at that very basic level, the Lord questions him three times. There was a private restoration of Peter. The Lord appeared to Cephas. This was public because what Peter had done was a public thing. And there's a place for both. And here the one who had denied him publicly three times had to confess and be probed publicly by the Lord himself these three times. But what I find interesting as well is this. Now, I know we're in a group here of men who are students of the Word of God. And so you help me out if I don't get this right, because I've looked a little bit, and you might can look a little better or more thoroughly. I don't know anywhere else in the Scripture where the Lord asked anybody this question. Now, I may be wrong on that, so you show me, please, because I don't want to make the same mistake twice. I don't know anywhere else where the Lord asked anybody, "Do you love me?" I know He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," and so on. But I don't know anywhere where He personally looked at an individual and said, "Do you love me?" If you love me, feed my sheep. And He told him three times, various forms, tend my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. What a great thing that is. That our love for the Lord Jesus would be evidenced by caring for that which He has entrusted to us. And you know what else? You're going to tend the flock of God, and you're going to do the difficult work, and you're going to spend the long hours, and you're going to expose yourself to the dangers and the hardships of caring for the Lord's flock, not because you love the sheep, but because you love the shepherd. It is love for the Lord Jesus that will keep you going through those hard times. Because I'll tell you quite frankly, as one brother said many years ago, sometimes the sheep are awful hard to love. And sometimes the sheep kick. It's not love for the sheep that'll keep you going. It's love for the Lord Jesus, ultimately, that'll keep you going. What a beautiful thing that is there to see. Can you hear the Lord Jesus say, "If you love me, care for my flock, tend my sheep, feed them"? I guess in one sense, there couldn't be a better example of David, 2 Samuel chapter 7. If we think of some examples, 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 7, "In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me a house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel." Now, you know one thing I learned. I've learned a few things over the years, and I know I've got a lot more to learn. It's always important in Scripture, isn't it, to see what comes before and what comes after. And you know what comes before 2 Samuel chapter 7? Sure you do. Chapter 6. That was easy, wasn't it? Chapter 6. But you know what happens in chapter 6? In chapter 6, verse 21, listen to this. "And David said unto Michal, It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father, and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." What had David just done? He had brought the ark back to its rightful place in the center of God's people. It is after that in chapter 7 that the Lord says, "I have taken you out from the sheepcotes, taken you from those sheep that you were following to make you ruler over my people Israel." You see, David had restored the ark to its rightful place in the midst of God's people. A flock, in a flock, It's not so much the circumference that's important. It's what's in the center. It is what the shepherd draws the sheep towards. And in this case, you see, as we lead the sheep, we recognize He is the great shepherd, and it is around Him. The job of the shepherd in feeding and tending is not to draw the sheep to themselves, but to draw them to the Lord Jesus. To give them a heart for the Lord Jesus. If they get a heart for the Lord Jesus, I tell you, you're not going to have a problem following them. For years in Christian radio, I worked with a man who was a North Florida cowboy. He wore a Stetson hat to work every day. Like it or not, under his Stetson hat, he had tied back a Confederate flag bandana. And he wore his cowboy boots. But I tell you what, I learned a lot from that man. A lot about God's grace. And I remember him telling me one time, you know, he said, I'm tired of rounding up strays. And I thought of that when Randy said, you know, some of those, if they don't hear his voice, there's a reason for that. They might not be his sheep. And we can spend a whole lot of time trying to round up strays. If people who are the Lord's sheep and His people, if they get a heart for the Lord Jesus, and if we can be helped by God's grace to point them to that one whose rightful place it is to be in the midst, if they get a heart for Him, they're going to follow Him. They're going to follow Him. Look at another example in the New Testament in Acts chapter 20. I would suggest to you men that are here, there are two passages in the New Testament that when it comes to shepherding, when it comes to ministry in general, I find them to be some of the most convicting passages in all of the Word of God to my own heart. One is Acts chapter 20. It is there as Paul is called the elders of the church. You see, a shepherd, a provider, a protector, a pattern. On your own time, go through this passage in Acts chapter 20 sometime and see all of those things demonstrated in the life and in the ministry and the service of Paul. Provider, protector, pattern. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations. Verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? On what basis can you say that, Paul? For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. How he labored with his hands. How he coveted in verse 33, no man's silver, no man's gold, no man's apparel. How with his own hands he had worked and ministered unto his own necessities and to those that were with him. Verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when He had thus spoken, He kneeled down and prayed with them all. And listen, they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. What a relationship he had with them there. What sorrow it was to them that he'd no longer be with them, that they'd see his face no more. What a pattern he had been to them. What a provider when necessary. What a protector when it came to the doctrinal things of the Word of God. To shepherd the flock of God. The other one, and we won't read it for sake of time, in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2. Listen to the care. I'll only read one verse there for sake of time. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians, but read this passage sometime. Paul's concept of what it meant to be a servant of the Lord and a minister of the gospel, and how he labored. You're witnesses, he says in verse 10, of God, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Feeding and caring for God's sheep, God's flock, it's going to require time. It's going to require diligence. It's going to require the giving of ourselves. It's going to require laying down our own lives. It's going to require the study on our own parts to be able to teach, to be able to feed, to be able to instruct. Watch your own selves, Paul said first to those at Ephesus. Guard your own selves, because you'll have to guard your own self and take care of your own self and your own life before God before you'll be able to point them to the one who is in their midst and their center. What an exhortation, what a powerful one, to feed and care for the flock of God, taking the oversight thereof, not of constraint, willingly. May the Lord speak to our hearts accordingly as we continue to look together into His Word. Our Father, we thank You again for the Lord Jesus. We think of those words that He spoke to Peter on that day. Do You love Me? Feed My sheep. Simple words. Short phrases. Could they be any more searching? Oh God, we confess we need help. We thank You that You've made every provision, all that is necessary, all that is needed. It is the Holy Ghost who raises up overseers. And those that You raise up, You equip. Thank You for men, many in this room, who've been true shepherds to the Lord's people. Patterns, protectors, providers, examples. Men who have fed the flock of God. Men who have tended the sheep and cared for them. Thank You for this. Thank You for those who've been such an example and who still are. May they go on. May they inspire others to desire a good work and help, Lord. We know in some cases it isn't true. There are times when men have positions of responsibility but don't fulfill that which they profess to hold. Help, we pray, Lord. We need help. We thank You again for the Word of God. Speak to our hearts accordingly. And we give You thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.